December 26, 2020, it's a lot for Pedro show.
been happening. A goodly thing you've got. Such a nightcap. The world looks so funny on me. Map is gathered. The patterns are empty.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Saturday, Xmas. Started off with John Coltrane doing Straight Street. His first session as a leader. Called Coltrane, that record. Riley Walker, Opposite Middle. And yeah, I'm not man alone because the wonders of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Riley Walker aboard. Are you calling me from Chicago, Riley?
Nah, man. I'm originally from. I lived in Chicago for a long time, but I'm out in NYC these days.
That's why I asked where you're calling me from.
Yeah.
Because I was learning and reading, and yeah, a lot of Chicago, right?
Oh yeah, man. I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, like an hour outside, and then when I was 18, I moved to Chi-Town. I lived there for a good 11 years, like all my 20s. And then a couple years back, I moved to the Big Apple.
Is Rockford Cheap Trick?
You fucking better believe it.
Okay. And it's kind of quad cities, right? There's some Iowa and Davenport.
That's like a couple hours.
Another way. There's like two Illinois towns and two... Something like that. The Ashton brothers live there a little bit. Maybe that's Rock Island.
Yeah, you think of Rock Island. Touring heads always get that confused. It's an easy mistake to make, you know.
Well, you know, the other one is on the I-5. The border town between Oregon and Washington State is Vancouver.
Yeah, right? Isn't that fucking wacky? It's like, who's making these goddamn maps, dude?
Or picking town names.
Yeah,
okay.
Get your own material.
Okay, people, the geography portion of this edition has been completed. We got Riley's in the Big Apple. Brooklyn or Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Okay, because you know a lot of folks these days. B-Town. Well, I guess they're going into Queens now, and Red Hook and stuff like that. Wherever it's Econo's, yeah. Harlem, you know. Bronx. Man,
the kids are spreading that all over.
Spreading that. Fighting back against the big fucking coin.
Let's
talk about your incredible guitar work. These tunes you gave me. Oh, man. D. Boone, he would love this stuff, man. I do.
That's so flattering to hear.
Yeah, I mean, really. There's a tune on Double Nickels. I mean, it sounds like you're a flat picker, and was more like, because a flamenco guy kind of showed him, so he used fingers more. But there's a tune on Double Nickels, right, called Cohesion. It's kind of from a flamenco tune called La Linda, yeah. The Doors made into Spanish Caravan and stuff like that. Your earliest musical recollection, please, Riley.
Back in the day, cruising around in my dad's GMC pickup truck, hearing the Outlaws.
Outlaws? Yeah, I saw them a few times.
three lead guitars, dude.
Yeah, I know. Up there with Molly Hatchet and Leonard Skinner. But, so what you remember as a gig is the first. Okay, what about in the pad? Was there a guitar when you were growing up in the pad?
Nah, man, I got a non-musical family. I mean, my family's like radio rock fans, but there wasn't a musician in the bunch. So all like, you know.
More listeners and gig-goers.
Yeah, you know, like gig-goers a couple times a year. A lot of folks who just like to, you know, put tires on cars, take tires off cars type folks.
Right. But because I'm trying to find the connect with you and guitar, so it didn't come real early. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Nah, man, none of that. I was always like a big music fan.
Like we were saying, at school, they had music at school, you just didn't take it?
Nah, man, I didn't take any music classes at school. I did go to like a performing arts middle school, though, but it was basically just, I don't know, it was probably a scam from the local county to get extra cash. There was no, like, I don't remember any, like, artistic classes happening at that school. The lunch sucked. Everything sucked there.
Okay.
But I found music through, like, skateboarding and stuff, and I thought guitar was real cool, man. And that was when I first realized that, you know, music is like, it's a temporary break from any sort of real school thinking or physical labor. You know, it's just this great outside activity that kind of keep my brain not going haywire.
A little bit of physical labor. You got to get that pick to touch the strings.
Oh, yeah, man. There was definitely a lot of learning curve. But I found...
What about the first guitar? Obviously, the first guitar you got wasn't your own. You played a friend's?
Yeah, my friend's dad, he had an axe, like an old piece of shit Peavey that was collecting rust and was just a big pile of nuts and bolts, basically, with some frets. And, man, we were into music, and his dad had a shitty drum set, too. I think his dad was in, like, a coked-out funk band in the Chicago suburbs back in the day. And, you know, he just had piles of misery in the basement of old gear.
Yeah, this is some guy, his pops, yeah, kind of dream went wrong, but you guys repurposed the gear, the equipment.
Yeah, you know, this dude had dreams of being cool in the gang, but he was not cool and had no friends, so he just left behind a bunch of dog shit gear in the basement. And man, I think my first time playing the guitar was just this out of tune mess, nuts and bolts, and I just like ripped into that thing. I'm like, this is cool. And I had no concept of what chords were. I didn't know what music was. I liked Jimmy Page. But that was about it, man. That was the only musical knowledge I had. And then it just kind of went from there.
And from there, by meaning, like, you started learning stuff off records?
Yeah, man. I would get, like, fake books of shit, play along to records. I took a few lessons from a dude named Tim Tonin. And he was, like, his tude towards like music was probably the most inspiring thing ever. He was just stoked on records and stoked on like the power of music more than like technicality, you know. He didn't want to turn anybody into a prodigy. He just wanted them to be stoked on guitar, which I think I probably needed that more than like some formal education or rudimentary sort of stuff.
I think most people, even the technical guys, need that kind of stuff too. Thank you so much for him sharing that with you, because technical is not what artistic expression is about. I don't think. You know.
Yeah, man, I agree. And I like at an early age, I saw through like the bald ponytail, fucking, you know, sort of like old middle aged dude, like trying to teach you. Like, how to, like, hold the pick like Steve Vai. And I was just kind of like, when can I just start having fun, man?
Well, you know the stuff you gave me. It's a lot of acoustic. So, but it sounds like you started actually on the electric guitar.
Oh, yeah, big time. I didn't really start fucking with acoustic till later. I was a big electric guitar player. Still am. But that's definitely how I started.
Okay. Did you have the thing, like, with your buddies after school, the garage band, the basement band, bedroom band?
Oh man, I'm from the Midwest, so it was all about the basement. You're a SoCal lifer, man. So you guys got like, you know, the garage is legendary, but for us, it's all about the motherfucking basement.
Basement. Now, the Cool and the Gang basement, did that actually turn into a band, or was that a little later?
Hell yeah, it turned into a band. It was me and my friend Jordan. We were a two-piece inspired by the likes of, you know, we just like The Germs and The Clash and like kind of all like the big classic punk rock stuff.
Ah, so Pat Smear. You listen to Pat Smear. Yeah, incredible guitar man.
Dude, Smear's a legend, man. He's so rad.
I tell you, when me and D Boone and Georgie are watching him in the 70s, The Germs, and I, you know, those gigs, you could talk to people, no problem. They were so much different than arena rock. And so I asked Pat, because I thought he invented that fucking style. I said, did you ever listen to anybody? He said, oh, yeah, I'm into Queen. What was his name again?
His name was Jordan.
Jordan. You and Jordan get a band. You turn this thing into a two-piecer. Did you end up doing gigs?
Yeah, man, first gig ever, Pitt Skate Park, Rockford, Illinois, on the top of a motherfucking halfpipe. Tell me that ain't
cool. And was dude skating while you were doing it?
Yeah, man, we sucked. People were skating. It was honestly like a dream. Like, I still don't think gays get cooler than that.
So in a way, you were the soundtrack to them fucking going for it.
Yeah, man, it was just a bunch of, like, really shitty skateboarders and really shitty musicians, which has kind of summed up my young adult life.
Here, I want to play Cutting Loose. This is what you guys were doing. You were cutting loose. Watt from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Daniel Bachman and Riley Walker doing Cutting Loose.
That's me.
Yeah, right. But Daniel Bachman, this is it. I don't know. Is he related to Randy Bachman? You know, Randy.
Nah, man. That'd be pretty cool, though. I think he's just, you know, typical fourth generation German American descendant who's got a hard European last name. But, dude, Daniel rocks. You should talk to him sometime. He's a.
Sure. Make the connect. But he's a little after Jordan, right? Whoa.
We made the tour a lot together.
Say it again. It dropped out again. These motherfuckers, I want to go and wring someone's goddamn neck.
What I asked you was,
Daniel Bachman, he's a little after Jordan, right? What happens with the Jordan Band? Did you guys have a name?
Yeah, dude, we were called the Crying Onions.
Well, Chi-Town. Isn't that like a native word for stinking onion or something?
Yeah, dude, it's got to be. There's a lineage there from back in the day to us. I don't know. Jordan's still my good bud. You know, I just we went different ways. You know, he wanted to get a union card and all that, and I said I got to keep fucking doing this dog shit. So I kept doing it.
Okay. Let me tell the people what else I played. Brand new stuff from His Name Is Alive, Vision Return. Hungry Baby from Kim Gordon live in Paris about 8 months ago. Bowman's Printed Bigger Than Life. The Boy with the Red Guitar, Kim Cooper Complex. Orthotonics with Be So Mean, Cult Figures. And finally, I guess August 19th, 2018, Bill McKay and Riley Walker. Which is some more fucking two for guitar righteous playing.
Yeah, man. We go for like... I think me and Bill are just big television fans. We like want to do that through like a John Fahey, Burt Hinch kind of thing. I think that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about John Fahey, but you're saying Tom Verlaine and Richard Lloyd?
Yeah, man. I mean, they were the big dogs for me forever. Still are. But I mean, I like to imagine like if they were like chilling with John Fahey, especially for those recordings of Bill McKay.
Wow. Yeah. But okay, when did you first hear television?
Back in the day, man, in like high school, it was like the classic like Friends older brother band, you know, like, hey, you guys, man, fuck NoFX, you gotta dig this shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like NoFX is mainly from your age group, right? But what about the thing, did you guys go through the trip about the fucking mixtapes, the cassettes, buddies would hang?
Yeah, man, yeah. I mean, I'm 31 now. I think my age group is like the last.
Because that's how people got turned on to new shit, right?
Yeah, man. I'm on cassette CDR cusp. That's like my age. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because this kind of music we're talking about, it wasn't getting played on the radio.
Nah, man. A little
later on with the college stations, but. The cassette mixtapes, I try to tell people how important those motherfuckers were.
Yeah, man, those are big at a young age. And I do remember getting, like, cassettes from, like, friends, older siblings of, like, all the cool shit they heard once they got out of town and went to, like, I don't know, Madison or Chicago or whatever.
And you know, it's a trip. You know, the label ain't big enough to put all the songs, so you don't even know the names of these bands.
Yeah, man, that's the coolest part. I do just, like... trying to cross-reference from, you know, you gotta, analog cross-referencing was like a lot of fun back in the day, you know?
Yeah. So, that's really neat that you were into television that early. Now, what turned you on to John Fahey?
Well, I was a big Sonic Youth head back in the day. That's how I first heard of you, actually, with your work with Sonic Youth, and I got the Minutemen from there. Youth fan high school, you know. I was pissed off into my teens. Of course, I like Sonic Youth. They fucking rock.
Yeah.
And then I saw him at the Vic Theater in Chi-Town on the Sonic Nurse Tour. I was still in high school. This is like 05.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, dude, that extra dude on stage, Jim O'Rourke, sounds cool. So I got into his Drag City Records. Bad Timing was like a... I love Bad Timing. I found that.
What about...
At the same time, I was...
What about Gaster DeSoul? What about Gaster DeSoul?
Oh, man, that's like one of my favorite bands of all time.
But you didn't know of them yet. You had to work your way backward?
I worked my way backwards. Jim O'Rourke was like, that was definitely like a big, that was like a big entry into a lot of shit I like now. And that Bad Timing record, I remember, because I got like Wired magazine and shit, and an interview, he's like, yeah, you know, this is like a Fahey thing. And then I got really into Arthur Mag at the time, and Arthur Mag was like shitting their pants about Fahey in every issue, like Byron Coley or Thirst of More reviews.
Byron, he's an old friend. Yeah, okay. And Thirst, yeah, Thirst is a big fan, but he don't play anything like him. Jim O'Rourke could do the John Fahey thing.
Yeah, man, he killed it. And an extension of that was like Jack Rose was really big.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Jack Rose is a fucking, he's a bad motherfucker. I think Jack Rose is maybe more rooted in that, like, tradition. I think Jim O'Rourke is just, like, kind of like a funny outsider dude who likes all sorts of music. But, yeah, those two dudes were big, and that got me super into Fahey. But, yeah, I heard Bad Timing before I had ever heard a single song of John Fahey.
Oh, wow. That's interesting how that happened, because I was going to ask you if there was, because sometimes it's just a coincidence, you know, but you did hear the man. Okay. Okay. And, yeah, kind of troubled personality a little bit and stuff, but interesting the idea of, yeah, being an outsider that's doing something traditional.
Yeah, man, definitely. And there, he was also from Chi-Town, too.
Right.
Works, so it was like, I thought that was cool.
You know, I had him on the show. He's living in about 70 miles east of Tokyo now, or west of Tokyo, I'm sorry. He'd be in the water the other way. His first gig was Wings.
That rules.
And his mom didn't want him to go, so she threw a fucking bowl of spaghetti at him. So he went to the gig with spaghetti in his fucking hair.
Hey, man, anything to see Dan on the run.
So that's a trip. Okay, so from Jordan, do you like make another rock and roll band, or do you start getting in the acoustic around that time?
Nah, man, I was strict motherfucking R&R, electric guitar, you know, Pat Smear, Thurston Moore, Stephen Malkmus, just like, I was really into like, you know, I was like, you know, a big indie rock fan, I guess, you know, D Boone was definitely big, all that like classic shit.
Well, with Thurston and stuff, different tunings, did you get into the different tuning stuff?
Dude, big time, that saved my life, man, because I love guitar so much, and I always have, but, like, I'm still not, like, the most proficient standard player, you know? And then I started reading that, you know, Lee and Thurston tune their guitars all fucked up, and I was like, that sounds fun. And, you know, you can kind of just make these angry, fucked up sounds by just, you know, tuning it all wonky. And that was, you know, that exploded everything. I was like, okay, I'm in. This rules. And also, Jimmy Page doing Going to California. That was like the first acoustic open tuning I had ever heard.
Led Zeppelin 3? Yeah, because I was going to tell you, there was some traditional stuff when you go to blues guys with open, with slide players and shit like that.
Yeah, I came to appreciate that a lot more. You know, late teens and stuff like that, I got really into finger picking. I love finger picking, you know. I got the gross acrylic nails and everything for it at that age.
Whoa, yeah, D-Boone got some of that from the flamenco. But you're finding this out, man, alone, right? You got no teacher at this time.
Nah, man, no guru, no teacher, no nothing. I was just kind of like, it was me and my pals just being getting really into collected records. There was a local shop in Rockford called Acme Records, and just buying all sorts of weird esoteric music.
They had a good select.
Yeah, dude, like, better than you'd expect for, like, a weird city that doesn't really need to exist. You know, there's no culture there or anything.
Yeah.
You know, the closest city's, like, an hour and a half away, Chicago.
Right.
So, this guy had all sorts of cool records, and that was just listening to that stuff opened my third eye for guitars.
Man, that was one thing we're missing without the record store. You'd meet people, then also you'd meet sounds.
Yeah, dude, and I know there's like there's a big to-do and a big, you know, it's a big joke about angry record store clerks, but I'm sure they're out there. all my formative experiences with record store dudes were like awesome. I remember, because it was really interesting. I remember being a huge Pink Floyd fan. And, you know, I was going in to buy, like, I don't know, Dark Side of the Moon or some shit. And this dude was like, yo, you got to check out Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
Oh, the real one, yeah.
Yeah, man. And even all like the Pink Floyd fans at school, they had never heard of this. And I was like, wait, what? So there was my first taste of like record narcissism. I'm like, I got a Pink Floyd record. Nobody at school has heard of it, you know?
and the record clerk guy was the turn on man.
Yeah, dude. And I remember I liked Steve Winwood in Traffic a lot because I was kind of a fucking poser at points in my life. You know what I'm saying?
they got like, some good records. When he was with Traffic, it's really good.
Yeah, Travis got some. They got some heavy tunes for sure. But he was like, "Man, check out Cluster and Can." And
oh Chad. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. But to me, you know, music's music. So it's either hitting you or it ain't hitting you. I ain't into that genre shit. Just fuck.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I think that's the way things are turning anyway. Riley, we're at the end of the first hour, December 26, 2020. This is what Peter saw, special guest Riley Walker. Hold tight for hour two. December 26, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
There was an evil glow in the air, like nothing I'd ever seen. And why was I in this menacing place? What did this strange dream mean? Looked like the end of the world, like everything might burst into flames. Looked at my hands, they were trembling. That's when I heard you call my name. You went straight from whisper to shout, and your voice was turning inside out. And I knew, darling, it was all over. I knew, darling, it was all over. That when I woke from this dream, you'd be gone. You'd be gone. Grew more threatening still. Every leaf on every tree was quivering. I heard you laugh so spiteful, and the air grew cold. Baby, I was shivering. Our lives together flashed before my eyes, and every truth I'd known turned into lies. And I knew, darling, it was all over. I knew, darling, it was all over. That when I awoke from this dream, you'd be gone. You'd be gone.
Okay, people, we start off the second hour with Riley Walker doing 4:14:20. With that, that's from April, not too long ago.
Yeah, man, I've been making all these crazy, wacky home recordings and stuff just to pass the time, you know. And
how do you record? What do you use?
I've got a, you know, I got like a Universal Audio preamp compressor and like a digital interface, dude. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I gotta know what I'm doing right now to make the tunes turn out.
Yeah, you're using a pewter for, like, being a tape recorder.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty, like, you know, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm having a blast doing it. I guess I've learned a lot of, like, the basics. I got the rudiments down of it. You know, I ain't trying to record nobody else or make nobody else sound pretty because I ain't got that. But
right.
I'm happy to do home stuff on it. And are you a big Derek Bailey fan?
Yeah, of course.
Dude, yeah, that's another dude I got way into.
Now, how'd that happen? How did that happen?
Dude, I'm telling you, like, Thurston Moore.
Okay.
And shit, like, and yeah. Byron Coley.
Yeah, those guys are heavy. They're heavy into that free stuff. Yeah, open stuff.
Man, I wish I could, like, I mean, I've met Thurston and Byron both briefly. Like, hey, what's up, man? Man, like, the impact that Arthur Magazine. You remember that, man?
Absolutely. Jay Babcock.
Dude, yeah, like legendary. And I was like such a ripe age and green for all sorts of new music. And they were writing about fucked up shit. And it got delivered to my house once a month. And like the Byron and Thurston reviews, they review like, you know, like Sonny Chirac box sets.
I got to meet Sonny Chirac. I got to meet him. I played on a bill with him.
You're kidding
me. I wouldn't bullshit you. It was in Rochester, New York, in 1992.
Was he cool?
Very cool. Very bitchin'.
That, man, that's so... That, I mean, Sonny Chirac to me.
And a humble man, too. And he played his ass off on stage, and he passed away maybe a year or two later.
That's, man, that's like such a... I'm sure he got all sorts of amazing stories, but that's one to take.
Oh, yeah, big time. And he was so kind to me, man. He just spieled, you know, before we both took turns going on the stage. And he, just the kindest guy, man. What a great spirit.
Oh, man, just a legend. And, like, the most free, like, just, like, spirit. It's, like, some of the most, like, spiritual free music.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in the sense of, like, sound. It's just, like, this is, like, freedom, man. Like, what this dude does on record and on stage is, like, freedom.
Well, on record, you know, he's on Miles Records where he wasn't given credit.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Let me tell the people that we start off the show with Riley Walker doing 4/14/20, then Sam Bennett, Knew You'd Be Gone, Aruba, Avua, Naonde, A2. See You in Tijuana, By Mistake, Double Dutch Picnic with Back to New York, like Riley. Good Luck. No, not Good Luck. Good Fuck. This Chicago duet, Secret Meetings. I think it's got the guy from Joan of Arc.
Yeah, Tim Kinsella.
Yeah, is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. It was just a guess, but sometimes Watt's right. Riley Walker with Help Protect Our Mountains.
Damn right.
Yeah, where was that? When did you do that?
That's another tune I cooked up at home. And okay. If you listen to that...
Yeah, I did.
You'll notice there's like... It's like a Gaster Del Sol, Derek Bailey thing. And that's what I always like about Gaster Del Sol is like, they were like, Fahey meets Burt Bacharach meets Derek Bailey, dude.
You know, Jim O'Rourke really got into Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, he did like a covers record.
You're right, on the piano and shit. And then the other guitar guy, he teaches in Brooklyn. What's his name? David... God, it starts with a B. I played with two guys in Italy that played with this guy. Grubbs. No, it starts with a G. He was
David Grubbs.
David Grubbs.
David Grubbs is he's a friend of mine, man. We've gigged together these last couple years, and he's the coolest.
Is that right? Well, he's half a Gaster or a third, right?
Yeah, man, you should get in touch with him. He's a cool. He's been like fucking. He's been hustling tunes since he was like 15.
Squirrel bait, right? Bob Mole. You don't turn me on to Squirrel Bait with Bob Mole from Hoosker.
I believe it, dude. Yeah, I mean, Squirrel Bait was definitely like descendants of like replacements from Hoosker, no doubt.
Yeah, but then didn't they like turn into Slint and shit, kind of stuff?
Yeah, they turned into Slint.
Yeah,
and man, those dudes all invented like Midwest fucking guitar sounds.
Yeah, David,
Powell.
Yeah, he lives in SoCal now. Very cool
yeah,
people.
He's out in OC.
Yeah, OC, that's right. I want to play, I Heard Them Singing. This is You with Bill McKay. Thank you.
all right, I believe it. I can't shake it like the others. It's such a long lost brother. Only half my smile. And I was thinking maybe we can change one another. Baby, the Bible, can you hear it? What a right time to lay down. I was crazy for my love. Yes, I have some doubt to a second. And I was thinking maybe we could have come. They're singing me, stop up to sleep. Everybody, well, they drink shit anyway. And I was thinking maybe we can get away from the others. Baby, follow me, close behind. Such a long lost brother, when he had my husband. And I was thinking that we can be good to one another. Baby, follow me, close behind.
Thanks. Thank you very much. I want to say a big thank you to Hogshoot, all the people behind it for having me down here. It's really nice. I really, really appreciate it. I really appreciate the sloppy Giuseppe, which I'm beginning to feel the first wave of pain from. It's delicious, don't get me wrong. But I ate it in far fewer bites than any human should.
Watch for Pedro show? Yeah, you heard. I heard them singing, Bill McKay, Riley Walker, Giancarlo Bonifacio. He was on the show a couple episodes ago down in Roma with I don't know how you pronounce this, E-D-H-O-L-J, Ed Holds.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, his little demo thing. And then University Challenge, this is Brother AJ in the Netherlands with Serenus. His brand new record, Subway Leisure from Rhythm Plague, Wayne Pete, a buddy of Nels Klein. Nels Klein, you know about this guitar guy? He's done some collabs with Thirst.
Yeah, man, Nels Klein is the fucking man.
That oh, yeah, he helps out the Wilco guys. Yeah, he helps the Wilco guys.
Yeah, the Pillow Wand record, him and Thirst.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's a top 20 for me, man. That record rips.
Yeah, they meet. There's another record like that, too. Like, it's all one big song, kind of, even though they list a few songs.
Yeah, dude, them two together is great. Nels is, yeah, he's the man. And you guys go back.
Huh? Yeah, right.
I talk him up now.
He's in New York City now, so maybe you could hit him up with that. Now, the last song was Shaking Like the Others, live, right? This was a live recording, right? And you're singing.
I'm singing.
Because it's, I think, the only two out of the ones you gave me.
Yeah, you know, like, the music that keeps the lights on usually is like the sing songs I do. I got a lot of singing records, like, I don't know, like fucking songs or indie rock. I don't know what that fucking call this shit.
It's Riley and, Walker music.
Yeah, man. That sort of stuff is like really John Martin inspired. And I love all sorts of songwriters. So I do that, but I always wanted to follow like the Sonic Youth rule of like do song records and then do as much fucked up shit as you can in between albums, you know?
Oh, yeah. Remember they had that series of records? They did them wild ass instrumentals?
SYRs.
SYRs, right.
Yeah, man. Those, like, again, like that sort of stuff is like, and all like the freak folk stuff, like all those, like Sunburned Hand of the Man or Six Organs of the Vintage and all that stuff. They all like did song records, but then they put out like noise CDRs in between album cycles. And I always thought that was cool. So yeah. I guess it's kind of carrying that tradition, you know. I love songs, but I like improvising and.
Sure. And, yeah, you know, and then, like, Thirst got into, like, 12-string acoustic and shit, but he was still doing kind of the wild-ass. Yeah, you know, that's interesting. That I'm glad, too, man. You say you're 31, and so, yeah. It seemed the hatch got cracked open, man. It never came slammed back shut. That's good.
Yeah, man.
You know, sometimes I hear... more younger people, right, compared to less younger people like me, they'll say, everything's already been done, and it kind of bums me out. It's like, no, man.
Nah, man. You gotta, not everything's been done. Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm boring. Fuck that.
I know.
Take an online engineering course then, man. I don't know.
That's good advice. Yeah, you really want to get bored, right? Okay.
Yeah.
People, we're at the end of the second hour, December 26, 2020, edition of Watt Peters Show. Special guest, Riley Walker, Hold Tight for Hour 3. December 26, 2020, it's the third hour. The Watt for Peters Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Started off the third hour with Riley Walker doing Throg's Neck Dustbin. Throg's Neck Dustbin. And then we had Crane doing Drift and Reflections, Mold Open for Balmore with Rosetta. And then finally, Charles Rumback and Riley Walker with Ill-Fitting, No Sickness. Kind of a medley.
Bit of a medley.
Yeah, bit of a medley. And so, like these home recordings that you're doing right now, would you consider them demos, or are they going to end up being a record?
Nah, man, they're just like kind of like punk rock, like record them and put them out, man. I ain't trying to go back to those or nothing. That's just kind of fun shit that I keep my brain occupied with right now. I just made a new rock and roll song record with John McIntyre out in Portland, and that was a dream come true.
You're talking the drummer man from Tortoise?
That's the one.
Yeah, I think he's living in California now. He was in SoCal. He's in Portland.
He was in L.A. Yeah, he was in L.A. for a minute, but then he skipped up north to Portland.
Yeah, I think in between he was near Quincy or some town by Tahoe or Reno or some shit like that. But now he's in Portland? Okay. That guy is great. Well, he's got a studio, right? That was his idea. He always wanted a studio. But, man, what a drummer, man.
Yeah, dude. He's insane, like a drummer. And a great engineer and, like, a great dude.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what'd you do? Did you come there with a bunch of demos, or did you guys write it all in the studio?
Nah, man, I always did that sort of thing in the studio before. It was like, let's see what fucking sticks. And this time it was like, it's hardcore, like, home demos, then full band demos that we did in Chi-Town, me and the other guys that play with me. And then we skipped out to Portland a few months ago, safely, yeah. Distanced. And, man, we made a rock and roll record, and I'm real proud of it.
And you're playing electric guitar?
Electric and acoustic.
Okay, okay. And who else is in the band?
This dude, Bill McKay, who you heard on the recordings that you played in,
sure.
on the show.
Right.
A drummer named Ryan Jewell. A bass player, man, who you love, named Andrew Young. He's like, he's one of my one of my best buds. You'd love him. He's a Chi-Town guy. He's crazy on the fucking bass.
You know, a lot of cats from Tortoise ended up in SoCal. Jeff Parker.
Yeah, man.
And the other drummer, like John Conyer?
Herndon,
that's it. Johnny Herndon.
Yeah, man.
I recorded with him and Bucky Pope for this Sun Ross song.
Dude, that rules. Yeah, man, like, there's like been a great Chicago exodus out west, at least like in my friend group, you know, all sorts of people are skipping town and like, fuck this. I need some sunshine. I get it.
You think it's a weather thing? Yeah.
It's a weather thing, man. Chicago's cool and creative, but man, it wears on your soul.
Like, yeah, that wind in the winter and then sweaty ass in the summer.
Yeah, man, it's a heavy scene, and it's cool to like kind of figure out what you want to do there. But you know, I'm all for people going on to greener pastures.
I think Johnny Herndon gotten a tattoo in.
Yeah, man, I got a John Fahey tattoo on my arm that he did when I was like 18.
You know where a lot of these guys, they're in Altadena, and they're the east, northeast, like east of Pasadena. David Yao's out there.
Man, there's a whole, yeah, man, all those, that whole class is out there now, man. I like to call L.A. Indie rock retirement, you know.
But, you know, I'm like 50 miles from them. I'm in the harbor. So
we got
some distance.
I've never been to San Pedro. One day.
Yeah, you know who's buried here?
Ooh.
Charles Bukowski spent his last 14 years.
That's pretty fucking rad.
You know what it says on his gravestone? It's a title of a play, one of his poems. It's Don't Try.
Yeah, dude.
I want to play
Peace out, Mr. Bukowski.
His wife Linda still is here. I want to play this another live thing from you, Primrose Green.
I'm a songwriter. That's all I have is my songs. Thank you.
screen. Catch me up for the night. If for the thrill of the crazy, baby, how could it?
Thanks to Key and Nugent, and for the love of God, please buy a record. It's too heavy to carry on airplanes. God bless. Thank you.
I hear the Super Teenagers have got a new female member. I wonder what her power is. I'm gonna go get some more.
Watch for Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. Riley Walker doing Primrose Green. Then we had Mitt Douche from South London doing On the Lectern. Capitalism Is by Harry Reeve and Kumio Karachi. And then finally, this big fucking jam, man. Junior Bohannon, Ben Greenberg, and Riley Walker doing Michael. I mean, that's quite a tune. It's like 15-minute wailer.
Yeah, man. Are you a big Red Crayola fan at all?
Yeah, I love Soldier Talk.
And yeah, man, that's my shit. I think all three of us are big Red Crayola fans. And the way that dude composes and
you're talking and Mayo, Mayo Thompson.
Huge influence.
Mayo Thompson.
The King.
Yeah, now John McIntyre played with him. In fact, Tom Watson, my Missing Man guitarist, became like Mayo's, you know, I'm going to remember the songs because you can't remember them anymore, dude.
Oh, that rocks, man. That's a good gig right there.
Yeah, since like the middle 90s. For a little while, there was a version of the Red Crayola that had John McIntyre on acoustic drums and George Hurley on robot drum, electronic drum.
Man, damn. Yeah, dude, see, like, Mayo Thompson is just like, let's get like some heads in here and like turn shit up. Like, make it fucked up. Man, yeah, he's a legend. I'm a huge fan. And I think those recordings with Bohannon and Ben were, like, big Red Crayola tributes.
Yeah, and Mayo ended up putting out some records, maybe Drag City and stuff like that, labels there.
Yeah, I think Drag City's always had Mayo's back, which is awesome.
Because nowadays, like, he can't really play. He's got arthritis, and so he just teaches. But he does some stuff with Tom Watson still.
Yeah, he's out in SF, right?
Right now. For a little while, he was in Scotland.
Wow.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Man, I'm on Twitter, Riley Walker, and just, you know, Google.
What, do you have a website?
Yeah, RileyWalker.com.
Okay, people, that's RileyWalker.com. And from there, he's probably got links to all them other fucking places.
You're right.
Telephone poles to... staple up flyers.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Now, this record you did with your cats and with John McIntyre in Portland, is it out or is it coming out?
It's coming out, man. I just got it mastered by the King, Greg Calvi.
Oh, wow.
It's like $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really... Yeah, man. I don't know if Calvi's ever mastered anything for you, but that dude can fucking...
No, I've heard his stuff. I ain't done... But I'd like to, maybe, because he does good work.
Yeah, man, you should holler. He's the king. And it'll come out sometime, hopefully next year.
Yeah, yeah. And in the meantime, you're just going to be feeding the UA interface?
That's me, man. I'm plugging away at home, chipping away at the next tune always.
Now, you know, when you were with Jordan there, with the basement, the broken dreams of Cool and the Gang dream, you didn't have a guy to talk to. Like what I'm going to ask you here. What if a younger guy came up to you and asked you for advice based on your journey through music?
Oh, man, that's a big question. I've done it wrong in so many ways. I guess the best thing I could do is just don't do what I do and just, you know, hang out with people that are smarter than you and play good tunes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good advice because I think some people, they want to be the top of the pile. But how... You know what I mean? They don't want people smarter than them around.
Nah, man, it's pretty easy for me to feel like the dumbest hammer in the bag. You know, that ain't a problem.
But if somebody's got stuff, it's good to get next to them so maybe it soaks off on you.
Yeah, man, you know, go to gigs, have fun, be nice.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's such an honor to have you on the show, Riley. Thank you so much and bearing with these difficulties too. Well, I know this record's got to come out, but when you get another group of these little home things going, flow my way. I'd love to play. I love this stuff, man.
Yeah, man, that'd be a dream come true. The pleasure to be on your show is all mine, man. Lifelong fan. Really appreciate you.
Big love, Riley. People, it's been the December 26, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.